Dave Finkel, welcome to KABU.
Hi, glad to be here.
Dave Finkel edits the journal Against the Current. He writes a good deal for Against the Current and other publications, primarily on U.S. politics and the Middle East, with a particular interest in Palestine, Israel. Dave, you wrote a recent editorial on the Middle East Today, the current wars, some very vicious, killing really vast numbers of mostly poor civilians. You also wrote on the growing momentum for larger, more destructive wars, and these pushed by a de facto coalition of Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the U.S., all for their own purposes, all very ugly purposes. And you've also discussed climate change, its impact in creating the conditions that led to the current wars and continue to worsen. So, Dave, it's not a pretty picture. Give us a sense of Middle Eastern politics and struggles today.
Well, it's not a pretty picture. If I could make a shameless plug, the editorial that you mentioned, along with other articles from our magazine, Against the Current, is on our website. It's www.solidarity-us.org. I think that to put this in an overall framework, we have to recognize that the defeat, at least in the first wave, of the Democratic Arab uprisings from 2011, the so-called Arab Spring, is an enormous setback for progressive hopes in the region and internationally, as well as in the specific countries, Egypt, Syria, Yemen, and in fact even Libya, where these uprisings started. It's terribly tragic for the peoples involved and for all of us. Two other things that you touched on briefly. The spread of a growing war coalition tying together Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the United States, which has practically destroyed the country of Yemen in a proxy war with Iranian or somewhat Iranian-backed forces, bringing about famine, cholera, and diphtheria. It's absolutely horrifying, and the United States is deeply, deeply involved in it.
They're starving them to death as well, right?
Yeah, through its military supplies and refueling of Saudi aircraft. And the third thing, which is underpublicized, is the impact of climate catastrophe, global warming, desertification, the drought in Syria for several years leading up to what began as a popular uprising against the Assad dictatorship. Many, many thousands of farmers had their livelihoods destroyed by the drought. They moved into the periphery of big cities. There was no work for them. It exacerbated the social crisis leading to that upheaval. There's also an enormous drought right now in Iran, which is threatening the water supply in a number of important Iranian cities. This is a global thing. Sometime you should have somebody from South Africa talking about the water catastrophe looming in Cape Town, but that's another whole discussion. But all of these things have combined together, along with other things like Donald Trump kicking the Palestinians in the teeth, saying they'll move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, even worse, cutting off funds to the United Nations Relief Works Agency for Palestinians. So it's a convergent and desperate set of circumstances.
Dave, let's talk about that de facto coalition between Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the U.S., also trying to drag other countries in. What's happening? Why is Saudi Arabia now so desperately attacking Yemen and so viciously from the air, of course? Why are they doing that? And then there's the Iranians. And then what's in it for Israel and the U.S.? Why don't we start with just the Saudis and maybe in Lebanon, their effort to, in fact, project their power over the entire area and wipe out any opposition to the kleptocratic royal family, in particular the new king.
Well, it's the new crown prince who's sort of taking over as his aging father gets ready to depart the scene. But Saudi Arabia is attempting to create a big regional coalition to smash the growing power, the growing regional influence of Iran. That is really what their grotesque and almost genocidal assault on Yemen is all about. They also virtually kidnapped and tried to force the resignation of the Lebanese Prime Minister Hariri, so Saad Hariri, who was actually a Saudi ally and an almost protege, but the Saudis turned against him when he realized that bringing any kind of political stability to Lebanon required making some accommodating deals with Hezbollah and pro-Iranian forces there. So Yemen and Lebanon and other places risk being drawn into the vortex of really a set of Saudi-Iranian proxy wars, and that is part of also what's occurring in parts of Syria. It's difficult to summarize. It's difficult to summarize concisely, but overall, that's what's going on. Meanwhile, for those of us who are concerned about Palestine, we need to realize that what the Trump administration, through Jared Kushner, the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and the Israeli government of Netanyahu have cooked up an utterly horrible and unsustainable plan to impose a Bantustan solution on the Palestinian-occupied territories, something that no Palestinian leadership could possibly accept, but they think they can do it through raw power. As for the Israeli angle, if I could say just briefly, there are two things. They believe that this kind of scheme could crush Palestinian resistance entirely. And secondly, for Israel, the occupied territories are a sort of a laboratory and proving ground for their techniques of repression and their highly sophisticated weaponry, which they can test out on populations and opposition movements and then market to repressive regimes all around the world.
Yeah, their surveillance schemes are particularly effective and odious and murderous.
Yes. I don't want to demonize any country, and I don't want to glorify any of these regimes, Iran or any of the others. All of them are viciously repressive. None of them are progressive, but this is the overall climate. And American policy is making bad situations even more terrible.
This is KABU Radio in Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Dave Finkel, who's an editor and editorial writer. He writes in other places as well, on the Middle East and Israel and the United States, on Palestine. Dave, we've gone over the horrific situation all over the Middle East, genocides in some countries, smaller lethal wars and others, and a growing push for regional war from the Saudis. Let's conclude talking about the U.S. and the Middle East. What game are they playing? It seems to me we could be looking at a repeat of the Iraq War, that is the Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush adventure to change the Middle East, that all pushed by the Israelis. And we could see now a huge regional, a terrible regional war with Iran and Hezbollah as the an attack on them, and then other attacks all over. What's the thinking now in the United States policy circles? And could they put another Iraq war on? Could they again intervene in the Middle East in the same way?
Not in the same way, because they're not going to commit hundreds of thousands of ground troops overtly. There are larger numbers than have been admitted of American forces on the ground in Afghanistan, which is an absolutely unwinnable war. The U.S. has now been there for, what, if I'm not mistaken, 16 or 17 years. And the policies that President Obama and now Donald Trump have put in motion basically ensures that we'll be there for another 16 or 17 with no positive result. They believe that, at least the Trump administration, believes that military power and threats can crush Palestinian resistance, can decisively defeat Iran, and somehow come to terms, this is another whole crisis that we don't even have to have time to talk about, with Turkey. None of these things will work, but the tactic is to rely on military power and threats. I'm not sure that there is a coherent overarching strategy at this point, because the situation, let's put it this way, the political situations there would be challenging to the most sophisticated, competent, and highly effective State Department leadership. That's number one. And number two, that's not the leadership that the State Department has at this point. A lot of it is hollowed out. So I'm not sure there is a coherent strategy, but the overall policies are enormously, enormously destructive.
And the Israelis, of course, they believe that, in fact, in the in a regional war and all of the terrible news and the threats and the attention of the world on those wars, they'll be able to ethnically cleanse the occupied territories and set up the Bantustans. It seems to me that's part of their thinking.
That's a contingency plan. Let me say quickly that the catastrophes that have happened in Syria and Yemen and other places have sort of blotted out the enormous catastrophe taking place in Gaza, which is becoming uninhabitable. And I really recommend that people who are interested get Norman Finkelstein's new book from the University of California called Gaza, An Inquiry into Its Martyrdom. Very thorough and quite terrifying. And we don't hear much about it because so many larger scale terrible things have been happening. I want to say that as a movement, as an anti-war and peace movement in this country, we need to be urgently demanding the end of U.S. military supplies to Saudi Arabia. Code Pink has been very much in the forefront of this struggle, and we should all be behind that. And we should be behind the BDS boycott, divestment, sanctions movement to force Israel to end the occupation and respect Palestinian rights. It's the best organizing tool that we have, not that it can bring about a solution by itself, but it's the best organizing tool that we have to try and ameliorate the worst of the situation and bring pressure to bear on the Israeli occupation.
I suppose in the long run also, with climate change affecting so terribly the Middle Eastern countries, they could become uninhabitable in not too long a time, within the next 15 or 20 years. It seems to me that it's necessary for all humankind, and particularly for the people in the Middle East who are already suffering terribly, that we do something about greenhouse gas concentrations before they become irreversible and doom all of us.
Absolutely. We need an integrated understanding of the global crisis that we all confront.
That was a good way to end, Dave. Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Okay, thank you.
Right. So long.
A bitter wind blows through the country. A hard rain falls on the sea. If terror comes without a warning, there must be something we don't see. Well, fire begets this fire, like torches thrown into the straw. If no one asks and no one answers, that's how every empire falls.